And now it's time for the omnibus edition of Wagoner's Walk. Morris and Cressida were getting ready for dinner with the Tysons.
I don't remember seeing that dress before.
You're so kind, Morris. Thank you.
What for?
The compliment.
All I said was...
I do remember. Some men might have managed it more subtly, like saying, that's a smashing new dress, Cressy, but not our down-to-earth Scotsman. I'm surprised you didn't simply ask how much it cost.
Well, how much did it cost?
Mind your own business.
Oh, I was only showing an interest. And you do look good.
Do I?
Not that you don't usually.
You mean I should have stuck to what I'd been wearing all day, like you seem to be doing.
Well, I don't see much point in changing to anything else. It's only another editorial meeting, after all. Especially with Mike Nash turning up as well.
Does that mean you'll be totally ignoring Mrs. Nash and Liz's husband, not to mention me?
Well, you work for the Herald.
Not tonight, I don't. Oh. Except.
Oh. Except?
Well, Liz said she'd let me know about the book review I did for her.
Why?
But it hasn't stopped me trying to look presentable.
Nope. It certainly hasn't.
And it's not a topic of conversation that will take up much of the evening. Hopefully Liz will say she thinks the review is as good as I think it is.
Such confidence.
And then I shall be courteous and talk to the non-journalists present.
Uh-huh. And you expect me to do the same?
Well, I've no right to expect it. But I'd be incredibly warm and loving towards you if you did.
Yeah. Where's my best suit?
On the bed, together with a clean and freshly ironed shirt.
How's it going, Mr. Escoffier?
Oh, fine, thank you, darling. Everything under control.
Are you sure this isn't on too high?
Perfectly.
Oh, I feel awful. All I've done is come home late and get changed, and I was the one who invited everybody.
Well, I don't mind. It's been amazingly straightforward, thanks to my assistant.
Your assistant?
Father.
Huh? You mean he kept out of the way?
More positive than that. Once the girls were in bed, he was the one who read them their bedtime story. And I could concentrate on the meal.
He did that under severe protest, no doubt.
Oh, he volunteered.
Good heavens. So, is there anything left for little old me to do?
No, I don't think so, darling, thank you. Oh, unless you want to lay the table.
Oh, yes, please. I don't want to feel absolutely spare, darling.
It's not a conspiracy, you know. Just that everything's gone smoothly.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. It's not a conspiracy. Why has the table been set already?
Is it? Oh, not by me.
Then we've either got good fairies in the house or it's Arthur again.
Oh. Well, he did it very discreetly, then. Does he look all right?
Yes, except that he can't count. It's only set for six.
Ah, good. Well, that still leaves you something to do.
That's true.
Oh, darling, you can open the wine, too, if you like.
Oh, can I? I better hurry in case Arthur beats me to that as well.
Have I done something wrong?
Oh, hello, Arthur. No, no, on the contrary, you've done wonders. I'm just feeling guilty at being the lazy one as far as this dinner's concerned.
Oh, don't count your chickens. There's the diplomatic side to come.
Oh, that's true.
I don't understand.
Oh, I thought I'd mentioned it, Father. Maurice Gill and Liz haven't been on the best of terms professionally. This meal is a way of easing the tension, we hope.
Oh. Well, I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks.
And, now I'll be off to bed.
But it's early yet. And what about the dinner?
Oh, well, perhaps if a little something could be brought up to me.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
You don't feel up to meeting people?
It's not that. I don't wish to intrude. These are your guests, Elizabeth.
Yes, but so are you.
Oh.
Isn't he, Peter?
Yes, of course. Except that guests aren't usually so helpful.
I see. Well, in that case, I'd better finish laying the table. I didn't set a place for myself.
No, no, let me do it.
Certainly not. Once I start a task, I like to finish it.
Sorry.
What for?
Seeming ungrateful. I'd have let him go off to bed.
Oh, I can understand why. You have to put up with him all day. But since he's in such a mellow mood, it might be good to have him round.
Well, as an extra diversion.
Yes. Originally, it was just having Morris here that worried me, but Now there's a slight problem with Cressida as well.
Why?
Before I came home, I read a book review she did for me. And she's going to want to know what I thought of it.
And you're not going to be exactly full of praise.
Not exactly. Oh, I hope the Nashes turn up first. But in the meantime, where's this wine I'm supposed to be opening?
Fair.
Coming. I've just taken a couple of cans of lager up to Dickon.
Oh, is that what one gets for babysitting? I'd have volunteered if I'd have known.
I'm beginning to think you're not keen to go.
Oh, I expect it'll be all right. Only one way to find out. Right, let's be up.
You were saying?
Well, I'm not expecting visitors. So you didn't invite anyone?
If I did, I've forgotten.
Oh, well. Tony!
Hi. Hi, Mum.
Hello, darling.
Whoops. My perfect sense of timing by the looks of things. You're all dressed up.
With somewhere to go.
Yes, we are. But now, look, you better come in for a minute.
Tough.
Now, I've been trying to phone you all the weekend.
Oh, we were away. Kirsten was feeling a bit homesick, so we popped over.
What's it done, Mark? For the weekend?
Yeah. Wonders of modern travel and all that. Yeah,
wonders of some people spare cash by the time.
Well, I can put most of it down to expenses. Mm. I went to hear a singer while I was there. Useless, but never mind. Anyway, here's the reason I called by. Presents from the Ericssons.
Oh, Tony. Oh, if you'd told us you were going, we could have sent something with you.
Well, there's no time. Snap decision. Aren't you going to open them?
Well, we don't really have time.
Oh. Well, we're on our way to dinner with Liz and Peter Tyson, and it's already getting a bit late.
Yeah, but before we rush off, we must give you the news about Sonia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's very good news, Tony.
She was here on Saturday for a few minutes, courtesy of her fiancé, to tell us he'll marry her on the strict condition that you and Kirsten keep Adam.
I think I need a drink. Or a sit down. Or both.
And do you work for the Hampstead Herald too, Miss Firth?
Occasionally.
You mean part-time, like Elizabeth used to do?
Not as much as that. I write the film reviews.
And very well, too.
Thanks.
I don't go to the cinema anymore.
Oh, I like it a lot. And it's lovely to go for free.
Free? Well, even pensioners have to pay half price.
Yes, Father, but Cressida doesn't pay because it's part of her job.
You mean the cinema lets you in for nothing and then you're rude about the film?
If necessary. But some of the films are good.
Well, I think they're all terrible. But I expect that's an old man's prejudice, especially since I don't go and see them.
As a matter of fact, I agree with you. And I do go and see them.
Not very often.
Often enough. I've better things to do with my time.
Like staying on late at the office.
That's my crime these days, isn't it, Peter?
Oh, now then.
So you see hard work as a crime?
Morris.
You're the one that brought it up.
All I meant was that it's sometimes tough on those waiting at home for us.
Aye, but if the work has to be done...
It has to be done, and that's that.
Can I pour you another glass of sherry, Miss Firth?
Oh, I'd love one, please.
I'll do it, Father.
If you insist, Peter. I should like one as well.
Yes, of course. Anyone else?
I wouldn't mind another whiskey.
Right.
Of course, I've always preferred books to the cinema.
Here we go.
What was that, Elizabeth?
I said I must go and have a look at things in the kitchen.
There's no need, darling. It's all in hand.
Is it?
Hmm.
Do you read much, Miss Firth?
Yes, I have been reading a bit lately.
Oh. I'll get it.
Now, your drink.
Hello, Liz. Sorry we're late.
That was good.
Yeah, well, we practiced on the way here.
Tony turned up just as we were leaving, and it was the first chance we had of giving him the news.
Oh, about Sonia. Mm. Mike told me about that at the office. I'm glad to hear it sorted itself out.
So are we.
How are things going here?
Well, it's just started to get a bit sticky. Mm. In fact, I'm very pleased you've arrived. Perhaps you can introduce a new topic of conversation.
What do we have to avoid?
The hard-working life of a journalist.
Oh, start.
Well, it's bad enough doing it without talking about it. Mm. I'll tell you what. I can give a dissertation on how marvellous it is to be writing a book.
Mm-hmm. Any alternatives?
Where would you like me to put these bowls?
Oh, Cressida. You needn't have bothered.
It's no bother.
Well, the top of the fridge will do. Thanks.
Peter is an amazing cook.
Yes, I know. I almost felt redundant earlier this evening. At least I've got masses of washing up to make up for it later on.
Could I tell you something before we go back to the others?
Yes, of course.
I I have had one of my reviews turned down before.
Have you?
Yes, by Morris. The first film review I did. It was too serious and probing for him.
Ah. Well, that isn't the approach you used on the book I gave you.
Probably not.
I'm sorry, Cressida, but a book like Women and Trades Unions does deserve careful consideration, even if you don't think it's very good.
Yes, I see that now. So do I do a rewrite, or will you give it to someone else?
I'd much rather leave it to you.
Oh, that's a relief.
I'm glad. I wasn't sure how you'd feel about it, which is why I kept avoiding the subject when we were in with the rest of you.
Well, now I know for certain I can properly relax. I have enjoyed talking to your father-in-law. Isn't he a lovely old man?
Yes. Though he's not always as you've seen him tonight.
Last to arrive, last to leave.
And it was marvellous to see you both.
It was such a shame you couldn't get out at Christmas.
Yes, we must properly sort out this babysitter situation.
Well, there's always me, you know, Peter.
Well, yes, Father, but
and now that I'm slightly on the mend.
Yes, we are glad you're better. It sounded very nasty.
Well, all credit must go to Peter and Elizabeth. They've looked after me extremely well.
Have we?
Oh, certainly.
Well, anyway, we must be off.
I hope we can have another get-together soon.
Oh, oh me too. Mm.
Goodbye, and thank you very much.
And now, if you'll excuse me, I shall go up to bed.
Oh, of course, Father. And thank you for all your help.
Think nothing of it. Good night.
Good night,
Arthur, and thank you. Meanwhile, I shall away to the kitchen. Do you fancy another cup of coffee?
Yes. Thanks. Wasn't too bad an evening.
In the end.
You had a quiet word with Cressida, did you?
Yes, all sorted out, thank goodness.
That chap Morrison, he has a bee in his bonnet. Oh, what a wonderfully hard worker he is.
Ah, you noticed, did you?
I could hardly miss it. She's rather nice.
Like father, like son.
Hmm?
Arthur took quite a shine to Miss Firth.
Yes. But that doesn't explain it all.
Or what?
The way Father's been behaving all of a sudden. He's up to something, Liz.
What could he possibly be up to?
Well, I don't know, but have you ever seen him behaving as nicely as this before?
No.
I think it's downright sinister.
Well, perhaps he's had a change of heart.
For a moment, I even thought he was going to offer to do the washing up as well.
That would have been gilding the lily.
Hasn't lost his taste for sherry, though. Got through a good half bottle before dinner. Well, not that I begrudge him that.
If he goes on behaving like he did tonight, he'll be worth his weight in gold, let alone sherry.
Hmm. Even so, I'm going to keep a close eye on Father.
Hey, Shirley, I got an idea.
Oh, yeah?
Well, Donald's given me tonight off from the pub.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. Good behaviour, perhaps?
I'm glad someone sees that side of you.
And me too.
You didn't work at the Wagoners on Saturday, either.
I did the lunchtime session.
Yeah, Donald wouldn't be starting to lay you off, would he?
Oh, no way. I get paid for tonight, even though I'm not working. He told me to treat it as a bonus for all the hard work I've put in over the last few weeks. Here, I serve drinks twice as fast as any of the other bar staff.
And drink twice as fast, too.
Look, will you lay off, Shirley? I was going to suggest something you might like.
I'm sorry, love. What is it?
I thought we might go to the pictures.
Oh, I'd love to, Cliff, but I can't spare the time.
Oh, come on.
Not with the amount of studying I've got to do. I'm serious about my course, and the last thing I want to do is get left behind right at the start.
Oh, I see. You'd rather leave me behind.
What?
You heard.
Yes, but I don't know what you're getting at.
Oh, yes, you do. All these so-called academics you're getting in with. Well, I'm happy just to work with my hands.
Ah, that's daft.
Oh, yeah?
You know it is, Cliff. You trained as a teacher, so don't start pretending you haven't got a thought in your head.
But I've given it all up.
Well, what difference does that make? Doesn't automatically turn you into an idiot. Anyway, you're not being very fair on your new trade. There are plenty of carpenters and joiners who haven't been teachers first, but that doesn't make them stupid.
So? Why won't you even give me the time of day?
I thought that's what I was doing right now, getting up early to make your breakfast.
Look, you know what I mean. All over the weekend, we hardly talked, ever since you came back from that students' meeting.
We've talked since then.
We've bickered since then. And when I try to make it up with you, there were floods of tears. Now, I did promise you I'd sort things out, didn't I? Make it up with George and all that.
Well, have you?
Well, not yet, but only because I haven't had the opportunity. But I will, you know.
Good.
Well, I may as well shove off to Enfield. Where's my coat?
On the back of the door. Cliff.
Yeah?
I'm sorry.
What about?
Oh, being in this state. Well, I can't help it.
Oh, can't you? Well, perhaps you'll do Clifford a favour and let him know when you can be bothered to talk about it.
Tonight, maybe, love.
Tonight? You'll be too busy studying.
Not all the time. Going to the pictures would have taken up the whole evening.
Ah, okay. We'll see. Well, first off, I'll probably nip in the Wagoners. See how it looks from the customer's point of view.
Right, then, Father. Now, careful of the curb.
I'm perfectly capable of getting out of a car, Peter. If not, I wouldn't have embarked on this visit.
Yes, of course.
Though I realize you're expressing concern for my welfare.
Yes.
There you are. You can close the door now, if you wish.
Thank you.
Now then, will George be back yet?
Well, he should be. He said that he'd arrange an early lunch break, and it's 12:05.
Because I don't want to wait around in the open air, you know.
Well, if the worst comes to the worst, I'm sure we can wait for George inside the shop.
Not with the new owners, surely.
Well, let's try the side door first.
Hello, Arthur. Peter.
Ah, oh, hello, George.
Come in, both of you.
Well, I can't stop, I'm afraid. I've got to pick up the girls. But I'll be back to fetch your father in about an hour.
All right, Peter. And remember, if you wish to have some time to yourself later in the day, I shall be willing to keep an eye on the children.
Well, that's very kind of you. See you both fairly soon.
It is good to see you out and about again, Arthur.
It was less of an effort than I thought it might be.
What a shame it's a weekday and I have to go back to the bank.
At this stage, I think it's probably best only to attempt a short expedition.
Well, lunch is already heating up. I prepared it last night. Should be ready in about 10 minutes or so. In the meantime, shall I take your coat?
Oh, I'm not sure. Is it warm enough in here? I don't want to take any risks.
Oh, I think you'll find it comfortable without. I got Manjy Patel to pop in half an hour ago and put the fire on.
Oh, in that case,
that's it.
I don't seem to be able to hear that music you told me this new shopkeeper plays all the time.
That was the other favour Manjy did me. I told him I was having a very special guest to lunch, so could he turn the volume down? In fact, he seems to have turned it right off.
Well, perhaps he'll take the hint and keep it off from now on.
Oh, I don't think I'll be that lucky, but we'll have to wait and see. Take a seat, Arthur.
Okay.
I'll just hang this up.
I assume, since you're back at the bank, that your cold is cured.
Yes, thank you. Though I still occasionally feel a bit run down. But that's for other reasons. This silly feud with Cliff is still going on.
About Kath's money?
That's right.
Must be very unsettling.
Yes. But I'm greatly cheered by having you here, Arthur. I often used to rush back in my lunch hour when Kath was alive, but since then there hasn't been much point.
Oh, it's very touching of you to say so, my dear fellow. But I hardly feel I'm an adequate substitute. Is there any way of bringing Cliff to his senses?
Short of giving them the money, I can't think of a thing. And I'm standing firm on that.
Oh, as you should. The younger generation will always be impossible to deal with, I suppose. Except by subterfuge.
Subterfuge, Arthur? What do you mean?
Oh, nothing much. Just a general comment on the state of things.
You and Peter seemed on good terms today.
Did we?
Very friendly.
I hope Peter sees it that way.
Good evening, Cliff. Come on in. Make yourself at home. This is a surprise.
Yeah, well, it took a bit of Dutch courage for me to get myself here, as a matter of fact.
You mean you've been to the Wagoners?
Yeah. I wasn't working there tonight, but I called in anyway.
Yeah. I know you think I totally disapprove of your connection with the pub, Cliff, but I don't.
Well, that's not what you implied before.
Then I put it badly. What I meant was that it distressed me to think of it as a be-all and end-all of your life.
Which it isn't.
Well, I hope that's the case.
I'll prove it isn't.
That would give me tremendous pleasure.
And us too, if you keep your end of the bargain.
Oh, I will. I swear to you.
Well, truce then?
I prefer a proper reconciliation, but I suppose that won't be possible until later.
Well, I must say, I still feel a bit knocked with you thinking I'm a layabout.
Can't we say that's merely what I was afraid you might become?
Okay, well, what about the money?
Well, if you could think of me as your investment manager, I promise you the money will have increased by the time I hand it over to you. In fact, you might even want to leave some of it where it is, once you see what careful investment can do.
Oh, do you know something, George? There are times when you could talk the hind legs off a donkey.
doesn't that mean I talk a lot?
Oh, does it? Well, trust me to use the wrong expression. Anyway, I think you've convinced me.
A reconciliation, then?
Ah, why not? I never want for half measures. Let's shake on it, huh?
With pleasure. Oh, if you knew the relief I'm feeling. It wasn't an easy decision to take, you see.
Oh, no, I expect it wasn't, but let's forget all that.
Yes, let's. Oh, I still have some of that whiskey I bought. Would you care?
Oh, I don't mind if I do care, sir. And you can look at the mail I've brought for you.
Mail for me?
It was sent care of the pub.
How extraordinary.
Yeah, you better be careful. You might start getting a reputation for yourself like me. George Underdone and Cliff Edwards, care of the Wagoners. There you go.
It's a postcard.
I've read it, I'm afraid. So did Donald Fitzroy. It was he who asked me to hand it on to you. It's from his sister, George.
From Jessie? It's addressed to G. Undertow.
Well, that's fairly typical from what I saw. Always getting in a muddle.
Shelley, I'm back.
I wondered who it was.
And the great deed is done. The great peace has been made. Hey, George and I are friends again. Would it be better if I wrote it down on a piece of paper and handed it to you, love? Oh, now what?
Oh, sorry, Cliff. I know it should make me feel better, but it doesn't make any difference.
Oh, Anwar, Dad Carrier, what is it all about?
Well, it's Debbie's baby. She's going to have it adopted after all. I went round to ask her.
Oh, no.
I know you say you don't want it, but once it was here, Cliff... Anyway, she absolutely refuses to consider the idea. And I'm so... miserable.
I'm off to the restaurant soon, Bill.
Yeah, I thought you might be. I would have got here earlier, but they went and shoved some traffic case in front of yours. Mm-hmm. No sense of priority. I suppose it's because the bloke had up was an MP. Special treatment. He didn't get off, mind.
Well, you're getting me confused. When you say you would have got here earlier, I mean, did we arrange that you were going to come round?
No. But I was talking to Rob earlier in the week, and he said he'd probably be busy, so... I decided to go and keep an eye on things for you.
Things?
The committal hearing at the magistrate's court.
Oh, God. Did you have to?
What is it, love? What have I done?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it's not your fault.
I don't understand, though. You can't have forgotten.
Can't I?
Well, I wouldn't have thought. Something like that.
No, nor would I a few weeks ago, but... But I have been learning, slowly, to put it out of my mind as much as possible. Of course, I knew the case was coming up again, but somehow I've been managing to ignore it.
Muggins came and spoilt it for you.
Well, if it hadn't been you, it would have been someone else. I suppose someone from the police will be in touch.
Well, they'll have to be at some stage. Your Mr. Digby is being sent for trial at the Crown Court.
Not my Mr. Digby, if you don't mind.
Work I can't do outright today, can I? Comes a trying too hard.
Trying what?
To get back in your good books.
Oh.
Though maybe you still don't want me there.
Oh, Bill.
I've made a right mess of things, haven't I?
We're just as bad as each other.
We can be just as good again.
We can be friends. Well, we are friends.
Aye, but...
But that's all.
There was a time when we shared a bed on those terms.
And it was a mistake. Look, some people may be able to manage their lives like that, but not me. I know now that I have to be in love. And the way I feel about men at the moment, I don't know if it will ever happen again.
Not even if I were to say I was in love with you now?
I don't want to hurt you, Bill. But I don't think I could believe it.
Oh. Well, better not say it then. What I don't say, you can't not believe.
That's true.
Any road, I'd best not hold you up any longer. Can I give you a lift to the restaurant?
No, thanks. I'd rather make my own way.
Aye, okay. I'll be off then.
Thank you for bothering to go to the magistrate's court.
Don't be daft.
I suppose I should feel glad Digby hasn't got away with it. As yet.
Oh, I'm sure they'll nail him, love.
Mm. He's still on bail, I suppose.
Aye. Well, happen it'll be a few months before the trial.
Mm. Just hope I never bump into him, that's all.
Oh, I expect he'll keep well clear of this area. But if he so much as comes near you, remember, you do have a friend. And one that'll willingly sort him out.
Yes, but in the meantime, I'm going to try and forget all about it again.
Not so fast, Dickon.
Oh, sorry.
I never could keep up with you in the old days, but now I'm definitely getting to the waddling stage. Oh, charming sight, isn't it?
I think it is.
Eh?
In a strange way.
Oh, you're soft. But I'm very glad you came and dragged me off for lunch.
I've never known anyone so unwilling to go to a pub.
It was my strict upbringing. Left me with all these self-denying tendencies. That's why I haven't let rip at you yet.
What for?
Shooting your mouth off again.
What?
I thought to mention it when we were talking about people gossiping back in the pub. But I didn't want to spoil the outing.
What am I supposed to have been saying about you, Debbie?
That I've decided to have the baby adopted, after all.
I haven't mentioned it to anybody.
Oh, yeah? So how did Shirley Edwards find out?
Not from me.
You live in the same house these days.
Oh, several floors apart. Debbie, I hardly know the woman. Even at the Herald, she works in accounts, so I only see her once in a blue moon.
Okay, I'll believe you. In that case, it must have been Carol. Oh, it's a blooming nuisance, whoever.
Why?
Well, she was round at the weekend asking to adopt the kid when it arrives. Oh. Yeah, I turned her down flat. But she's not the type to take no for an answer. She's a fanatic. I turned her down once before, you know.
Yes, it would be very difficult if you saw the child around. It might make you want to change your mind.
Oh, I doubt it. But you're right about one thing. I don't want the reminder around the place once it's all over. Well, here's my front door. You coming in?
No, thanks. I'd better get back to the fun factory.
Okay. Come and drag me out again soon, will you?
Certainly.
Now what's going on?
What is it?
Blooming key won't work. Carol! She was in when I left. Carol!
Who is it?
Who do you think it is?
Oh, it's you, Debbie. Are you on your own?
No, I've got Dickon with me. But he won't bite. At least he usually doesn't.
Thanks for the compliment.
Oh, sorry, Debbie. I locked it from the inside. I had to.
Just to get me worried?
No. There were these guys here, you know, from the council.
What?
They wanted to know why we haven't moved out yet.
I hope you gave them half a dozen good reasons.
No, I didn't.
I would have if I'd been here.
Oh, I wish you had been. I panicked. I switched the latch and ran away upstairs.
Oh, typical.
I couldn't help it.
I don't mean you. I mean them. I wouldn't be surprised if they hung around waiting to get one of us on our own.
Oh, they're not that devious, surely.
Aren't they? Doesn't look that way from what I've been through the last few weeks. Certainly doesn't.
You're in demand again, Rob.
Eh?
The glamorous creature at table 5.
Oh, blimey. Can't you deal with it?
But she asked especially for you.
Tell her I'm busy.
Okay, but she'll be terribly upset, I'm sure.
Bet. Oh, all right. Here goes. Is there something wrong, madam?
Far from it.
Well, I thought there must be since you asked for the manager.
Are you the manager?
The assistant manager.
Even that is impressive. I'm afraid I merely asked for that charming young man. I've obviously presumed too far. Does it mean I shall get thrown out?
No. We'll let you off this time.
Oh, thank heaven. Would you care to sit down for a moment? This table is meant for two, and I feel so isolated.
Unfortunately, I have work to do.
Oh, but surely, how shall I put it, fraternizing with your customers is part of the managerial prerogative, if not duty. It's not as if you were a waiter.
Which you thought I was a minute ago.
Touché. If that had been the case, I don't know what I would have done. Hoped for inspiration, I suppose.
Yeah, well, why hope for things when you could ask?
You mean?
I mean, you could ask to see our selection of desserts, for instance. Shall I ask the waitress to bring the trolley over to you?
the sort of dessert that I desire doesn't come on trolleys.
In that case, would you like your bill?
Only if you're feeling tremendously cruel. In any case, I would like some coffee before I leave your domain. Could you bring me a cup?
I'll certainly see that someone does.
Having a good time?
Terrific. Give her some coffee.
Oh, doesn't she want to receive it from your own fair hand?
Yeah, but it's too risky. I'm tempted to pour it all over her. I wouldn't mind her not coming here again, but I don't want her suing the place.
Oh, bad as that is it?
She thinks it's a takeaway restaurant.
With you on the menu. Okay, watch this from a safe distance. Auntie Sophie to the rescue. Black or white coffee, madam?
Oh, dear. Have I really frightened him away?
What, my fiancé, do you mean?
Your fiancé?
Yes. He's lovely, isn't he? I don't blame you for fancying him.
I notice he hasn't brought you a ring. Is he that hard up?
Oh, no, not at all. It's just that there hasn't been the time. When we're not here, we're much too busy. Black or white?
Bye, sir. Bye, Rob. See you tonight.
Bye, Wendy.
Yeah, cheers.
Another coffee before I lock the place up.
Yes, why not?
Thanks again for saving me from a fate worse than something or other.
Well, it makes a change from you looking after me. You know, the odd thing is, she was really rather good looking underneath all the makeup and jewellery. I don't know why she felt she had to gild the lily. Hey, you probably would have fancied her if she hadn't been trying so hard.
I doubt it.
Oh, well. You know, I think I'm beginning to get my self-confidence back. Mind you, it took a bit of a blow this morning when Bill came and told me Digby's been sent for trial.
He has? I wasn't sure whether to ask.
Yes. So, in 6 months or whenever. But then I pulled myself together and managed to get through to Bill that it really is all over between us. And then I rescued you. You realise half our regulars will think we're engaged now.
Well, it can be on or off according to convenience.
Actually, it suits me quite well as a local rumour. But it is a bit unfair on you. There must be some of our female customers you've taken a liking to.
I'm not that way inclined, Sophie.
Oh, you mean a strict line twixt work and pleasure?
No, I mean girls don't turn me on at all, Sophie.
I've been thinking, Debbie. Debbie, are you listening?
What?
What's happening? Oh, I don't know how you can go to sleep.
Easy.
But at a time like this...
At a time like this, Carol, I still feel wrecked. Weren't you like that when you were pregnant?
No. I was dead restless. That's how come I had the baby in the shop. You know, I was working there because I couldn't stand doing nowt.
Oh.
Yeah. But I was wondering... I mean... Do you think we ought to barricade the doors and windows?
You what?
Well, you know, in case those council guys come back.
As far as I can remember, they don't get to throw us out bodily for a while yet.
Even so, I'd feel safer.
Oh, look, Carol. For a barricade, you need wood and nails and that.
There's the floorboards.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, you'd have to help me.
No, thanks. I'm too tired. Anyway, it's not the sort of labour pregnant ladies should go in for.
No, I suppose not.
Look, the fellas will be back soon.
Yeah.
Vince knows all the legal bit. So let's hear what he has to say first, before we start cutting ourselves off from the outside world. If there is a siege, do you think they'll let me go out to the antenatal clinic?
I don't know.
Oh, blimey, Carol. Cheer up.
Oh, I can't, Deb. You know, I've got this premonition. They really are going to split us up this time.
Such dedication.
What's that, Monk?
Well, here we are being whisked away to the West Country. And for the first time in ages, we're able to free ourselves of the pressures of life in London. And what is Mrs. Nash reading?
The Hampstead Herald.
Again? Not really hearing what her husband is twittering on about.
Mm.
You know, in all these years, I never realized our readers went through the pages of the Herald with such concentration.
Sorry, Mike. I've finished now.
No, you haven't. You're only halfway through it.
Well, I finished the piece that caught my attention.
Ah, my editorial?
Yeah,
never mind. In that case, it was probably Liz's interview with Monica Ridley's daughter.
How did you guess?
Ah, because even my tired old mind found it riveting.
I was fascinated. It's quite a revelation.
Good old-fashioned scoop, even.
I've read and seen plenty of interviews with the other daughter, Lady Sylvia...
Thackeray's.
Yes. She always describes her mother as if she'd been recently canonized.
Yes, which is suspicious.
Is it?
Not to us professional skeptics.
But how come no other paper has ever come up with this version of the woman?
Well, because Thelma Goff, the daughter Liz tracked down, has always kept well out of the limelight. Liz was turned down flat when she first asked to talk to her.
What made her change her mind?
Well, Liz said the lady thought it was about time the world had a less one-sided view of Mama. Well, perhaps there's an element of belated revenge there.
It's awful to read of a family split into factions like that. If it's true, of course.
Oh, I think it is.
It's a bit of a shame, though. You know how keen Sue's become on the Polly Pride books? The next time she's raving on about them, I'll be thinking, yes, but the lady who wrote them was not a very pleasant person.
Well, writers don't often live up to their literary image.
Yes, I should know that. Some people probably think Mike Nash moves in a world of murder and mystery, whereas in reality...
And I'll just put this file of poison away for the moment and ask if I can fetch you something from the
music. No, thanks.
Oh, because you don't trust me?
Would you trust a man with a file of poison?
But I only carry it for a search.
No thanks all the same. But don't let me stop you.
No, that's all right. I won't die of thirst before we get to Bath. It's such a quick journey these days, and I think we're halfway there already.
Will we be met?
No, I rang Nicola from the office yesterday. Something's cropped up, which means she'll be at a business meeting late this morning. So I said we'd have a pub lunch and make our own way to our house.
Business meetings on a Saturday?
Mm.
Sounds a bit high-powered. I thought she moved down there for the quiet life.
Well, my visit is part business, remember?
Yes.
But only part.
Sounds promising.
Hope so. Yes, not often we get away without Sue, so I don't want to spend all the time talking about the novel, however wonderful Nicola thinks it is.
Well, then, I left a parcel in the back of the car. Do you think you can fetch it for me?
I've got it here. I noticed it when I went for my bag.
I wonder what it is.
Have a guess.
Well, it's round, and it bounces.
So, it's a good job it's not a big glass light fitting.
I did read the wrapping paper. Roper's Sports. Matt, Jeremy already has that old football you gave him.
Yeah, but, since he's got a new proper interest in the game...
Matt Pryor.
I believe that is my name.
I don't want you to think I disapprove.
That's all right, then.
But I shall expect you to do the explaining.
To Jeremy?
To Peter.
Oh.
When he starts up again about our spoiling the child.
Yeah, that's not a child we're talking about. That's a potential first division midfield genius.
Not if I can help it.
You don't mean...
What?
You don't mean you want him to play rugby?
Not particularly. I don't see what's so wrong with rugby.
Yeah, played by a load of thugs.
Ha! Where is Jeremy, anyway?
Still up in Alexis's attic, I should think. That's where he was heading when I left the house.
Jeremy? Jeremy, we're back!
He'll be down when he's hungry.
You made sure he had a proper lunch, did you?
Yes, of course. Well, at least I left it to Alexis to make sure. I'd been out for hours before I picked you up from the restaurant.
I see.
No need to look like that. And a few things to do, aside from buying the lad a football.
Jeremy, will you come downstairs, please?
I don't think he's up there.
Well, in that case, he'll be out in the freezer plant. Shall I go and have a look?
Yes, please.
Right.
Hey, no, wait.
Why?
I've just seen this.
A note to explain all. Well, at least they've got some sense.
Have they? Dear Mummy, Alexis and Rob are taking me to a real soccer match. Isn't that brilliant? See you for tea. Love, Jeremy.
A soccer match?
It's all your fault, Matt.
Eh?
You shouldn't have gone out and left them.
I know.
How could those two grown men be so stupid? To take a child of his age to a soccer match, anything could happen.
Yeah, and they might be having a bloody good time, and I could have been with them.
Jeremy.
Well, I can't really...
I can see only the back of many people's heads.
Not much better where I am.
Still, I like hearing all the noise.
Ah, we can hear them from the outside and not pay to come in.
But that wouldn't be half as good.
I know we should have tried to get in the stand.
Oh, they say, all sold out. We must have to see Toots.
Who's Toots when she's at home?
No, he's not she. He's the man who sells the tickets twice the price.
Oh, that's Touts, your great lettuce.
Oh, he's a donkey.
What happened?
Oh, I don't know, I missed it.
I saw that time. They're back more in all sorts of trouble. Saw the number two, he make a sliding tackle just outside the area. He's diabolical. Send him off.
Diabolical. Send him off.
Now look what you're teaching the kid, Alexis.
Oh, he has to learn sometime.
Oh, I want to see.
Oh, I'm still back from lifting you up before.
Well, he's my turn this time. What a weight this Jeremy is. Like a sack of potatoes.
Oh, Blair, still on the ground?
Oh, he make a meal of it. He probably took a dive in the first place. He's a very clever guy. I see him get away with it before.
How is it you know more soccer English than anything else?
Oh, he's natural.
Will there be a penalty?
No. Free kick. But our team, they were good from the set piece.
We scored! He's won! We scored! And I saw it!
More than I did!
Well, they catch a glimpse, I think.
It was brilliant!
I'm so sorry I couldn't meet you off the train.
Oh, that's all right, Nicola. We've enjoyed ourselves.
We had a lovely lunch. Yeah. I've just managed to do some shopping, so at least I can feed you for the rest of your stay.
Did your meeting go all right?
Still a few problems to iron out, but I think they can wait a day or so. Not the usual image of life in Bath, business at the weekend.
We were wondering.
Though there is the matter of talking to authors.
I hope that's going to be more a pleasure.
Careful, you'll be getting big-headed.
I wonder that he isn't already with this Monica Ridley thing.
What?
They chorused in confusion.
Well, how on earth did you know about that?
It sneaked into one of the nationals, that's why. Only in Junior Spelgrove's gossip column, which shows you the sort of thing I read in my spare time. But it's all good publicity for the Herald, isn't it? Pipping all the big daily papers to the Post.
Well, I didn't bother to read a paper today. Felt like a rest.
Well, it's around here somewhere. I quote, Lady Sylvia goes to ground. It's not often Lady Sylvia Thackeray is lost for words, but it happened yesterday. I asked her about a press interview which suggested her mother, the late Monica Ridley, who penned many a jolly schoolgirl yarn, was not the pinnacle of perfection we all thought. Faced with my eager curiosity, Lady S. said precisely nothing. The bean-spilling interview in the Hampstead Herald, a local London weekly, was with Lady S.'s sister, a Mrs. Thelma Goff. We didn't even know there was a sister. Has she been locked in the closet? Oh. Watch this space. Revelations may yet be forthcoming. How about that, then?
Well, it's Miss Thelma Goff.
Oh, well, if that's the only mistake, it's pretty good going for Junior Spelgrove.
True.
I used to know him back in the dim and distant. He had this horrible patter about himself, which was, I'm called Juniors because I'm a near genius.
Oh.
Right. But it's good he picked up the Herald's lead, isn't it?
I'm not so sure.
Matt, you've got to do something.
I am. I'm pouring myself a drink. I was waiting for those so-and-sos to come back and tell me about the match.
Look, I've just been listening to the news, and there was crowd violence at a London football ground.
Which one? There's a lot of them, you know.
But I...
Oh, come on, love. I can't see Rob and Alexis letting Jeremy come to any harm.
But in a big crowd, they could lose him. Why are they so late? They should have been back ages ago.
Well, they probably stopped off for fish and chips or something.
We know there's food here.
Ah, it's not the same, though, is it?
What isn't?
Chips out of a newspaper after the game. Well, beats anything.
If he gets an upset tummy, he's going to lunch at Minden Road tomorrow.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with fish and chips. Let the lad enjoy himself.
But why haven't they phoned?
All right, love, I'm sorry. But there really isn't anything I can do. For a start, we don't know which match they went to, and even if we did it, that's no good. You'll have to grin and bear it until they get back, or at least get in touch. I mean, it's only just gone 7 o'clock after all.
Yes, I do know what time it is. That's the point. Rob is supposed to be in charge at the restaurant tonight.
Oh. Well, I can manage without him for a few minutes, can't I?
You simply won't see the point, will you?
Eh?
Rob is due back for a very good reason. So since, on the whole, he's very conscientious, something must have happened to make him late. Oh!
Well?
Do you think you could answer it, please?
Well, all right, but don't panic till you know who and what it's all about, eh? Hello?
prior.
Rob, where have you got to?
The thing is, we had to come to Casualty, and we were wondering if one of you could come and pick us up.
Casualty?
Oh, no, Matt.
Which hospital? What the hell's happened?
More Stilton, Claire?
No, thank you.
Oh, I say, I feel tremendously well fed, if it doesn't show on the scales.
Oh, let me clear away and wash up.
I wouldn't dream of it. You came to Bath to get away from household duties.
The change of scene won't make it seem like housework.
Claire,
I insist, Nicola. Apart from anything else, it will give you a chance to talk to Mike about his book.
Yes, but it's awful leaving you out of things.
Will it be a very long discussion?
No, I shouldn't think so. Unless Mike's decided to change the plot completely.
Oh, not likely. Ah, that's what Hemingway wanted me to do. So it would fit into his computerized formula for a bestseller.
But you told him what he could do.
Well, a token protest would be a more accurate description. I even went off and had a crack at it his way, but I couldn't have managed it in a month of Sundays.
So I should hope. Oh, in that case, Claire, I should think about an hour and a half, at the most. Anything longer, and I should start to feel I was imposing my ideas on what the book should be like, whereas what I want is to find out in more detail what Mike has in mind.
Which makes me realize why he has always been full of praise for you as an editor.
That's nice. Oh, I'll have to be very careful to live up to my own standards and his recommendations. Now then, the chapters you sent me are up in my study, so shall we move up there, Mike?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Watch the box if you want to, Claire, or come and join us if you can stand it.
Thanks. In fact, I'll probably get on with the thriller I brought with me.
What? You hear that, Nicola? She's willing to sit in your sitting room, busily reading one of my rifles.
I have to do something while I'm waiting for you to finish yours.
I'll try and make him get a move on, Claire. The study's in here, Mike.
Oh, right.
I say study, but it's more my office at home. Look at the chaos. Books piled up, manuscripts slung all over the floor. It's a good job we've worked together before, otherwise one look at this lot and you'd probably flee down the road.
Well, you probably know where everything is.
That's very sweet of you, but I don't. For instance, where did I put the chapters you sent me?
Well, how about in the middle of your desk?
I think you might be right. Trust the creator to recognize his own pages amidst thousands of others. Now, if I move these few hundred, you can sit down.
Oh. Ah. Hmm. I like this room.
It's pretty good for working in. As long as you avoid the view, remind me to show you tomorrow when it's light. A panorama of Bath city center. That's the joy of a town with hills. The agony, of course, is having to climb the damn things. But it keeps me fit.
Yes, you're looking very well.
And how are you? I know you're on this diet, but it did strike me that you were looking a bit tired. Is it world weariness or health?
Oh, health-wise, I'm not too bad now.
And otherwise?
Well, there have been strains in the past year. A few family problems. Though those have all sorted themselves out, thank goodness. But life on the paper has been having its ups and downs.
Isn't that a natural condition of a newspaper world?
Yes, you're right. Yes, I ought to be used to it. Now, it's probably the combination of things that's done it. But with the family crises out of the way, I'm sure I'll be able to face running the Herald with my old buoyancy.
Good.
And on top of that, it looks as though I shall enjoy finishing the book.
I certainly hope so.
It's made such a difference, knowing you like what I've done so far.
It was great to be able to give some outright praise for a change.
Oh, it came as such a surprise after what Hemingway said.
Mr. Hemingway sounds as though he would rather deal with machines than flesh and blood writers.
So he was wrong about the market?
Not exactly.
Oh.
Don't look so worried, Mike.
Sorry.
I'd be misleading you if I said there wasn't a market for the sensationalized soft porn stuff he was wanting you to write. But recently there's also been a popular swing back to the sort of thing you're actually writing.
You mean the old-fashioned has become the new?
That's right. Well, there's no point in pretending you're a member of the avant-garde.
Oh, I wouldn't know how to go about it.
And I wouldn't know how to go about selling it.
But you do think you might be able to sell this?
If you're willing to take the risk.
Oh, certainly I...
Now, don't jump in with both feet yet.
But I want to have the book published.
Sure you do. But you still might prefer to try a few of the big-name publishers first.
I've already tried one.
Well, there are plenty of others. My company's only very recently opened a fiction list. In the past, out-of-London firms have tended to stick to non-fiction, all to do with patterns set up by the literary establishment. But now, well, the situation's changing a bit. Some quite big-name firms are moving out into the sticks. We're lucky we're already here.
Yes, I think you are lucky. Claire's looking forward to seeing the town properly tomorrow. But to get back to whether you might buy the book.
At the risk of sounding evasive, I'd rather we talked about the book itself first.
Oh, well, certainly if you think that's best.
Shut up, all of you. What a mob. Can't you get in an orderly fashion?
That's what I'm trying to do. It's Alexis causing chaos.
I can't help it. I'm sick.
You're not sick. You've got a broken leg, that's all.
Oh, that's all he says.
Jeremy ought to come in the front with us.
Oh, no, Mummy.
Why should he want to sit on my knee when he can be back there with the lads, eh?
What are you trying to do with that crutch, Alexis? You hit me on the ear.
Oh, you've got to put it somewhere.
Is anyone going to shut that door?
Well, I can't reach.
There. I done it. Oh, no.
What's happened?
I only got one crutch. Where's the other?
On the floor.
Why?
Because that's the best place for it.
My crutch.
You can't use it when we're being driven along unless you want to hit somebody, and you're already doing that with the other one.
No, the other one's on the floor.
Oh, shut up.
Wrong. It's all right, Mummy. He doesn't mean it.
Wanna bet?
Oh, what are you waiting for, Lynn? Drive away.
I will in good time, Matt. I don't know why I should be bothered after all they put us through, but I am worried about Alexis and that leg. Are you comfortable, Alexis?
I think so, Mrs. Breyer, thank you. But I shout with pain if not.
Not too loud when I'm driving, if you don't mind.
Of course not, Mrs. Breyer.
I had 3 cans of lemonade and some chips and a hot dog.
Oh, what did you have for afters?
Roasted chestnuts.
Well, let's get the lad home, Lynn, before he explodes.
We're going to Wagoner's Wharf first.
Why, Mummy?
To drop Rob off so he can change. Go where he's already supposed to be, the restaurant.
Blimey.
Yes, Sophie and the others are managing to hold the fort so far, but they'd be extremely glad of your presence as soon as possible.
I'm really sorry, Mrs. Pryor. I wouldn't have forgotten if I hadn't had to get Alexis to hospital. And once he was there, I couldn't leave Jeremy to bring him home, could I?
I was under the impression we were bringing him home now.
You know what I mean.
If you and Alexis hadn't been so irresponsible as to take Jeremy off the mat, Alexis wouldn't have broken his leg.
Oh, but it was a wonderful match.
Yes, and my leg will get mended. I hope.
Yeah, me too, since you do have your uses round the place.
Well, thank you very much.
I suppose I'll have to fill in for a bit for him, if I'm not getting the sack.
Oh, you won't be robbed the sack, will you, Mummy? Because it's my fault. I asked them to take me.
That wouldn't surprise me one bit. But we were very worried about you. On the news, they said there was fighting at one of the football grounds.
We didn't see any. Only Alexis doing himself an injury.
He's no joke.
It was pretty daft, though. Who else but you would try to demonstrate a sliding tackle while going down an escalator?
Now, do you want anything to eat, Jeremy?
No, thank you, Mummy. I'm full.
You're too overflowing, I should think.
It was all smashing.
What about a bath?
Oh, I don't really want one.
If you don't have one tonight, you have to one in the morning. Remember, you're going to Minden Road for lunch.
Yes.
Goodness knows what your father will think of what you've been up to.
I know. If I have a bath tonight, can I watch Match of the Day?
Certainly not.
Go on, then.
Leave this to me, please, Matt. To bed, young man.
Yes, Mummy. It was only a suggestion.
To bed.
Because if they did show the game, you could see how terrific it was.
Oh, Jeremy.
Especially the goal I saw when Alexis lifted me up. The whilst I should have put away half a dozen more, because the other lot's back four were diabolical.
Bed.
Yeah, you can take this with you. Catch. Unwrap it upstairs.
It's a football, isn't it?
Can't remember. You'll have to find out for yourself. Upstairs.
Hello, you two. Have a good stroll?
Oh, it was delightful, Nicola. Hardly a soul around.
Well, best time of the year, I suppose.
Yes. While you were out, I made a few phone calls.
Oh, yes?
To my fellow directors.
I didn't realize.
I was in such an exalted position. Less grand than it sounds. Though it does mean I can offer Mike a commission to finish the rest of his book.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But that's not what I was phoning the others about. One of our publishing ventures is a monthly magazine called Hedgerow.
I think I saw a copy. On the newsstand at Paddington.
Oh, that's great. We were having a few distribution problems, but I think it's beginning to build up a readership around the south of England. Only the editor gave in his resignation last Thursday for family reasons.
Oh, sorry about that. Oh, is that why you had to go to the meeting yesterday?
Yes. Ah. I didn't give you the details then, because I was trying to decide whether I ought to ask. Well, after all, it would affect you, Claire, and Sue, and...
You don't want Mike to take over this magazine of yours, do you?
Yes.
Good Lord.
Well, I know it's completely out of the blue.
I'll say.
And while moving from London was terrific for me, it may be the last thing you all want. But if the prospect doesn't totally horrify you, can we talk about it?
This week's Wagner's Walk was written by Terry James and directed by Anton Gill and Penny Lester. And don't forget, you can listen to this omnibus edition regularly at 5:02 every Sunday here on Radio 2.